Live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Is he there? On your radio, hard-hitting news that Edward continues to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April the 9th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two with a goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we promote the sacred cause of liberty every day, everywhere, all the time. We will never trade our liberty for security. We'll wind up with neither. Warned the founding fathers. And I'm telling you right now, it's important that we, the people, stand for the sacred cause of liberty. Now, by the way, isn't it a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, faith-filled Friday? Fantastic. Hope you're gearing up for a weekend that promotes God, family, and country. Our guest, Dr. Scott Bradley, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, howdy. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. We talked last hour with Chris Carlson about Chuck Baldwin's column, basically Chuck Baldwin saying, hey, you know what, the mark of the beast runs through the church. And he talks about the coronavirus and how it's being used to literally promote tyranny. And eventually the mark of the beast is what Chuck Baldwin is saying. Chris Carlson wrote a very similar column. His article is called More Cleverly Disguised. And it talks about secret combinations getting above the people and how they're using this pandemic to get us to trade our liberty for security, and we're going to wind up with neither, and how dire it really is. And my point, to summarize, and I want to get your take, is why I'm giving you this summary, Dr. Bradley. My take is that I agree that they're literally working on a tyrannical agenda. There's no doubt about it. But every round, they take more liberty, and they promise us more security, and we wind up with neither. However, the summary of my point was that I get that it's bad. But I also get that, you know what, if we're not very careful, we overstate our position too. And we say tyranny is right around the corner. And every time things somewhat go back to normal after a crisis, then it makes us look foolish. We may be correct on the point, but wrong on our timing. We may be correct on the point, but you know what, the people are trading their security for their liberty. Their liberty for their security every day. And so, on one hand, I agree with Chuck and I agree with Chris that it's looking dire. It isn't good. And I'm not saying that it's fine, but imagine an idea where religious leaders and others are saying, look, people are trading their liberty every day. People are willingly giving up liberty, and it's harder to defend a people that doesn't jealously guard their liberty. And there's a headline that says, Republicans versus woke corporations, a losing battle. Woke corporations are these ones that are promoting climate change or promoting the whatever liberal agenda they want to push. You're woke, you're awake, if you will, if you peddle their narrative, is the liberal idea. But you know what? The Republicans are pushing back against it. The woke corporations are pushing back, and the Republicans are in a losing battle. Because at some point, property rights meet up with these mask mandates and everything else. And so you walk into a company today and they say, yeah, I know they're getting rid of the law or getting rid of the so-called law. that requires mask work. Private corporation will do whatever we want. You wear a mask or you don't come in. Well, that's private companies doing what they want to do. And so they're trading their security for their liberty, and they're winding up with neither. But if we overreach and state the issue as too dire, too extreme, then when things relatively go back to normal with the fundamental changes that the American people don't really remember how it used to be, because we have short minds or short attention spans on this issue, then they just look at us and go, yeah, you claimed the economy was falling, the sky was falling for the last 30 years, and you've now claimed the end of the world's coming with the cocoa virus, and none of those things have come true. And but the question that I asked Chris, and I'm going to ask you the same question, how do we articulate our points, but yet not engage in extremism and overreach like their side has done forever? How do we preserve our credibility but educate properly? Doctor?
Well, you ask a good question, and a big part of the problem is that this is exactly the bad place it's going. And there's a very, very highly organized, cleverly disguised, and powerfully promoted movement that is moving in that direction. These individuals have PhDs in you know, programs that, that help organizations and large groups of people get moved in the direction they want it. They're very crafty in the way they spin their, you know, dyer, and this advance three steps, take one back, make it look like, oh, well, nothing's really going to happen. And guys that get, hyperventilated about this thing are, you know, cast in a way that it causes the, it not to look quite as dire. And of course, you know, you quote Ben Franklin's, well-known perspective, they who can give up an essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety, is absolutely correct. But I really do think the advance towards tyranny is steady and unremitting, in the sense that we're still constantly moving in that direction. And I'll give you a couple of examples very quickly, and then let's talk about maybe how we can be less hyperbolic in the way we present it, but keep people focused on actually what's happening. Now, one example is something that I did back in, it was September 11th, 2010. On the radio program I did, I did a three-hour monologue on what liberties we had lost in the 9 years since 2011. The trade towers and everything like that. I pay attention to these things.
You mean 2001? So you did this in 2010, but the event was in 2011.
So it was 9 years.
Go ahead, sir.
Right.
Roger
okay.
That.
All right. So anyway, 9 years transpired since the trade towers got bumped into, and I pay attention to these things, and I thought I was pretty well, you know, versed in that thing. But to prepare for a three-hour monologue, I really dug in and did some research and all of the things that had happened, you know, in the intervening 9 years, and I was appalled, shocked, and chagrined at the it was free fall. Was what America was in, and I believe we're even worse now. But I stated on the air, and without going through a three-hour monologue, that I was so appalled, shocked, and chagrined that I felt, and I said, this is very subjective, no way I can prove this, but in the last 9 years, I felt we had lost what might have been possible to lose in 90 years under some other circumstances that were less frenzied by the establishment. And so, you know, we had a tenfold increase in the loss of our liberties. And you know, if you look at for example, just the Patriot Act alone, that eviscerated, it completely destroyed. There, we don't have a Fourth Amendment anymore, okay? So at any rate, that happened, and it was a real eye-opener to me, the inextricable advance that has happened. Okay, well, another thing happened. I was speaking up in a Wyoming community. We had the whole community there, and I might have told you this story before, but this was in 2009, and there was an old feller sitting on the front row, and when I got done, and I was telling the challenges, the difficulties, the issues of losing liberty and the foundational principles, and when I got done, as I always do, I got any questions or comments you'd like to make, and this old fellow stood up and says, I'd like to make a comment. And I said, fine, and he turned around and faced the audience. He says, I'm the only American here that was born free. He says, I was born in 1911. He says, I'm 98 years old. He says, I'm the only American here that lived as a free man. You know, of course, he was born at a time before the Federal Reserve, before the 16th Amendment, before the 17th Amendment, before World War I, and all of the crumbling of the victories of liberty that were built before. And he says, I have seen in the last 98 years this nation's liberty slip through their fingers. And then he pointed at me, he says, unless you listen to this young fella up here. And I'm going, whoa, hey, thank you. Want to come up here? And, you know, such a compliment, you know. But, of course, perspectively-wise, our ages were quite different. But he said, unless you listen to this young fella up here, your grandchildren, even your children, will not know what you have lost, because they never will have experienced them, just as you've never experienced the freedom that I knew in my life. And so I think that this march towards tyranny is happening. And I think that, by and large, most Americans have gone to sleep. Now, your question, I think, is off on an angle that says, how do we keep people awakened to this without hyperventilating to the point that we sound like we're over-responding? We're over-preparing. Oh, my goodness, the sky is falling. Well, you know, there's clear back in the late 1700s, an Irish mayor made a statement, but they attribute it to the wrong people in America. But somebody that did say it in America was Andy Jackson and his farewell address. And he spoke of the necessity of eternal vigilance to maintain our liberty. And that's where we've got to be. We cannot continue to let things slip through our fingers, to continue to compromise with every diabolical thing that happens and say, well, it's just a little piece. It's kind of like virtue. You can lose virtue very, very, you know, incrementally. And pretty soon virtue is gone. And I think I've told this story, and I'll tell it. It's a burlesque joke, but the dirty old man was sitting with the sweet young thing, and he says to her, well, I'll tell you the joke after you get back, so you can don't miss the punchline in the music.
There you go. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. The good doctor's with us, Dr. Scott Bradley, and he's right. Eternal vigilance is the key to the exercise, and that's why we're on your radio 6 days a week. We only rest on the Sabbath when the good Lord tells us to. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley was about to tell you a joke. The dirty old man was sitting with a pretty young thing. It starts there, sir.
Okay. With as much discretion as possible, this individual says to her, would you spend the night with me for $1 million? And she, knowing that he was not nearly that well-heeled, just kind of says, well, sure. And he says, well, how about $5? And she says, hey, what do you think I am? And he says, well, we've already established this. We're just haggling the price. And I think that's where we are in America today, is we're haggling the price of our liberty. And what happens is so many people are willing to discard that to the point that there will be a very, very, at this point, right now, even, in fact, I hope I'll get a second to. I've put out a plea. In my webinar last night, I put out a plea. I've got a little video on it. It's almost a half an hour long. It's just me jabbering away. But I'm truly concerned about the American way, and we're at a hinge point. We're going to lose it. And my plea is to join together those who love our liberty, our families, our God, our country, everything. I ask that people join together in fasting and prayer on this Sunday. And it's a well-established Americanist principle that all through history it has been used to good effect. And I think when we implore God on bended knee as a people, that God hears prayers. And I really do believe we're at a point, a hinge point in this land, where I cannot think of a single solitary thing in terms of our current trajectory that is going to end up in a good place. And I really think we need to refocus, and God's got to be part of the formula, or we're going to lose it. And so, anyway, I've got it posted on my website, a little video under Scott Bradley's Common Sense. I know people say, "Where is this common sense?" But at any rate, I think I'm imploring, and if we can spread this far and wide, and I talk about fasting and prayer in the little video. I talk about how it was a tradition in America and has been from the very beginning. I talk about how God does hear and answer prayers, and we're at a point in America today where we need to start connecting the dots back to our eternal source of all things. I mean, we as Americans have abandoned God. We have excommunicated God, if you will, the source of all knowledge from our education system. I mean, we have abandoned him in politics. We've abandoned him in entertainment. We've abandoned him about half of our country has zero religiosity. They don't even associate in a church. I mean, and there's so much that has been set aside, and I do not think it has a happy ending. And sooner or later, there's got to be an awakening, or we will lose things. And so, you know, maybe you're saying, "Oh man, you're getting hyperventilating at this point." I think now is way past time to start. And so again, it's a little video on freedomsrisingsun.com that is almost half an hour long. I think I didn't look exactly at the time, but I took some of the time in my webinar last night to implore people to join together. Good people all across this land. I think there's power in prayer. I think that a nation's never more powerful than it's when it's on its knees in the right manner. So, anyway, that was the thing that last night I spent a lot more time on than most people would have thought I could have or should have. But I believe that's where we are. And you say, "Oh, well, how do we do this without, you know, hyperventilating? How do we do this without sounding frantic all the time and everything?" And you know what? We need a little endurance. We need a little spiritual calluses, if you will, on our knees, to say, "You know what, I'm going to endure, I'm going to continue." I know so many people that have lost their fervor for the passion of patriotism and religion and even preparing for hard times because they say, "Oh, it didn't happen last week or whenever." You know, they had in their mind a kind of a drop-dead time, and so they give up on everything. But I tell people, you know, you do preparedness. You put away food storage, you know, you get out of debt, you put away a little for a rainy day, and you know, keep some concepts about what you need for clothing and food and everything like that. Anyway, and they say, "Well, yeah, I've never needed it anymore. I've thrown out some canned goods that went out of date or whatever, so it's all a waste of time." I say, well, do you have life insurance? Do you have health insurance? Why? You're not collapsing now, are you? In your health, you're not at death's door, but you do this as a preparedness kind of thing, and people are into that mode, but they're not into the mode of preparing for and retaining this great gift of liberty and the privilege of supporting our families, of worshiping our God, of taking upon us the name of Jesus Christ, and of lifting and blessing our fellow man. It interfered with my ball game last night, or I don't know, maybe there wasn't a ball game on last night. But the fact is, we've got to be eternally vigilant. And again, there may be a better way to say it.
What it reminds me of is you mentioned the Savior Jesus Christ. It reminds me really, and my answer to those who would, you know, when you say how do you prevent the hyperventilation idea being too extreme, but yet continue the steady warning and the steady preparedness and providing solutions and a steady hand on this thing. Liberty is something that we must fight for every single day of our lives. And it's not an absolute, you know, switch where it's on or off. It's a sliding scale of how much liberty we have. And the more we turn to God, the more we obey his commandments, the more we live our lives as self-governing, God-fearing individuals, the more liberty we'll have. And the more we turn away from that, the more tyranny we'll have. And you and I have our agency in the middle to make sure we decide what we're going to gravitate towards. Who will be our king? Who will be our God? Who will be our liberator or our captivator, depending on the choices we make? But I look at the virgins, the 10 virgins story, biblically, for real, real direct guidance on this. Let's start there, Doctor.
Well, absolutely. And, of course, this might sound offensive to some. I believe the virgins are the members of the church. I mean, that's how extreme. I think this isn't, the Savior was not telling a story about people that just didn't give a hang all along. Okay.
So let me stop you there for a second before you go in on this, because this is important. It is the members of the church we're talking about. It is the followers of Christ we're talking about when it comes to the 10 virgins. So let's be a little bit more offensive, not intentionally, but look, those who are not followers of Jesus Christ, we're not even talking about that group and them, that group embracing liberty or preparing for the Savior to come. So what group is that compared to the size of the church? How many members of the church are there that are serious to be considered part of the 10 virgins in the first place? So you take out everybody else, and now you say, okay, with this contingent left, we're seeking for those who will be the wise virgins. We're preparing a people for the Savior Jesus Christ to come. That's what this broadcast is about, Doctor.
Well, indeed it is, and I do not want to say, oh, we're going to limit our proselyting, if you will, to liberty, to only people that are, you know, Christian and you know, their belief system and everything. I would love to have everyone join us. I would love to have people of all faiths help us preserve the blessings of liberty. But if you look at that parable that the Savior gave, we are in a condition, I think he's speaking of a condition, where there are good people. These are people that, you know, these were the ones that were invited to the marriage ceremony, for crying out loud. You know, how often do I get invited to my neighbor's marriage ceremony? No, you don't. Only your closest associates are going actually to the marriage ceremony. And so what we have is a division that occurs, that some that have not been wise and some that wisely prepared. And some get left out. And I would like to have the group that, and this is just my milk of human kindness in my soul. I don't know what you'd call it, but I would love to see everyone that desires to be able to have their liberty. I would love to have them associating in the marriage with the Savior. I mean, I really do believe that even the very elect, those that have, you know, ostensibly, as I use the word, I mean, superficially, or I mean, it's probably deeper than that. Maybe they've professed strongly for many years, and yet, for some reason, they've let it slip through their fingers. And this thing with liberty is a similar thing. I believe liberty and God and the freedom of religion, it's all inextricably interwoven. I do not believe you can unravel it without losing something. And there's people that are willing, and many in the church, and many senior leaders in the church, seem to be so unwilling to look beyond maybe the institution itself and their formulaic worship, and they're throwing individual liberty and rights down the drain. It sounds like we got to take a break for some news, but this is all news.
Hard-hitting talk on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley. Let's be eternally vigilant, shall we?
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Prince Philip, Queen Elizabeth II's husband and the longest-serving consort of any British monarch, has died at the age of 99. Philip spent 65 years supporting the Queen, retiring from public role in 2017, and for the most part, staying out of the view since. In his active years, he helped steer the island nation for environmental causes, science, and technology. President Biden plans to request $715 billion for his first Pentagon budget, a decrease from the Trump-era spending amount. The Pentagon-only budget does not include defense-related spending that goes to other agencies, primarily the Energy Department, which maintains the nation's nuclear weapons. Who knew Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana could sing?
Born free as the wind blows. Get the vaccine. I did. It works.
On a personal note, I did get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine Thursday, and I feel fine. This is USA Radio News.
With more people at home due to the pandemic, it's more important than ever to keep small lithium coin batteries away from children. On a mission to help keep families safe, battery brand Duracell and the American Academy of Pediatrics have joined forces to power safely. Bobby Mendez, president of Duracell North America.
Well, in Duracell, we're very proud of be teaming up with the AAP in this shared mission of keeping children safe. And at the heart of the effort is a campaign to raise awareness.
Duracell has also come out with a bitter coating on their most popular lithium coin batteries.
And what this does, it discourages the child from swallowing the battery. So that's really the heart of the innovation.
Duracell and the AAP urge all parents, caregivers, and pediatricians to learn more about lithium coin battery safety at Duracell.com or HealthyChildren.org.
Some of last month's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package will go to fight homelessness. Wendy King from the Pacific Northwest USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Housing and Urban Development Secretary Marcia Fudge announced that nearly $5 billion from last month's COVID-19 relief package will go to states and local governments to battle homelessness. She said the funding was allocated to 651 various jurisdictions to provide housing and other services for those at risk. The $5 billion Home Investment Partnership Program was passed as part of the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan. The funding can be used to develop affordable housing, assist tenants with rent, acquire shelters, and secure other services. HUD said they plan to release another batch of funds targeting homelessness in the next few weeks.
A 2017 study says there's an estimated 554,000 people in the United States experiencing homelessness on a given night, or 17 people out of every 10,000. USA Radio News.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm flying solo for a little while today. I'm sure Sam will be right back. But can you imagine the level of trust he must have in me to be able to say, why don't you pick this up after the break? But let me just, we can go back to what Sam and I were talking about here in a minute. But some of you may remember, if you're as old as I am, a play. It was a play by Robert Bolt. It was first performed in London back in 1960. Then it went on Broadway for over a year, became an Academy Award winning 1966 film, and it was a 1988 television movie. So somewhere it might have come into your life. It's called A Man for All Seasons. It's based on a true story of Sir Thomas More. He was a 16th century Chancellor of England, and he refused to endorse King Henry VIII's wish to divorce Catherine so he could marry Anne Boleyn, okay, sister of his former mistress. I mean, this guy, I guess we don't need to get into his character. But at any rate, the play portrays Thomas More as a man of principle. So it is a play, but there's a lot of historical significance and, I think, truth in that you can often bring out in one of these kinds of settings. So he had some rivals like Thomas Cromwell, but he was loved by his family. And in Act 1, Scene 7, we have Thomas More rebuking William Roper for wanting to cut down the laws to get to the devil. Now, see, that's what's kind of happening in America today in a lot of ways. We're giving away things that we should never give away because, oh, my goodness, there's oh, there's injustice in the world, and we've got to throw the woke people would rewrite our whole country's history and everything, because they want to pass laws that ultimately and finally they're destroying our liberty. They cut down the Constitution, and it's ultimately going to destroy. And we need to consider what's going to happen to our families and even our churches once we've cut down what remains of our constitutional protections. And in Act 1, Scene 7, there's a little exchange between Roper and Moore, and this is how it goes. Roper says, "So now you give the devil the benefit of law." And Roper and Moore says, "Yes. What would you do? Cut a great road through the law to get after the devil?" Roper says, "Yes, I'd cut down every law in England to do that." And Moore says, "Oh, and when the last law was down and the devil turned around on you, where would you hide, Roper? The law is all being flat." Okay, so this is where this woke crowd is going. They're cutting great swaths of principle that were designed to vouchsafe to us and our posterity the blessings that we were bequeathed at such a great cost. I mean, our liberty, our religious liberty, the privilege of not just worshiping our God and taking upon us the name of Christ, but also providing for our families and being able to live those principles in our daily lives. See, these things are being taken from the marketplace, if you will, the public position of where we can even talk about these things. And you look at how it's happening. They're just whittling away, and it's a steady, constant erosion. And so there's going to be a time, and I mentioned just before the break that I'm very disheartened with institutions, organizations, and some of them are larger, some of them are smaller, but some with a pretty big footprint seem to be completely ignorant. I mean, maybe that's a kind way of putting it, but they're willing to toss us little people under the bus in order to preserve their institutional worship, their formulaic worship, so that they can meet in their temples and chapels and synagogues and have their daily, or not daily, usually weekly meetings and worship as they choose to. But this thing about religious liberty, it's an individual God-given right. And if, in fact, those institutions don't wake up and start to say, "Oh, well, our congregants are, if you own a business and you must bake a cake for someone if you don't believe in their propensity to marry who they want to marry, if you're forced to do that, if you have a business that, oh, well, I would like to give my employees health care, but if you do, you're forced to give them an abortion providing health care. If you're forced to provide gender reassignment surgery under your health care program, if as taxpayers we're forced to fund abortions or gender reassignment or whatever, folks, we're way down that path. We are way down that path." So here's what's happening in this woke society. I mean, they're taking down monuments against magnificent Americans as part of our heritage. We're taking down the privilege of individual rights, and if you own a business, and choosing what kind of healthcare program you get. We're deconstructing America. We're creating rights. Government is creating rights, which create a responsibility for others. And so religious institutions, employers, property owners, individuals, we all get to fulfill these newly created rights. And so what's happening now is Americans, and again, maybe this is not the ploy or approach that Sam was hoping for when we got on the air today, that this idea that where they're saying, oh, people are so hyperbolic on this thing that it makes us sound fanatical and weird and everything when it all doesn't happen next week. Well, folks, it is happening even as we talk, even as we speak. And so I believe that maybe there's a way for people to not get so splattering all over the walls all the time and everything that they say and do, but with an inextricable kind of weaving, they are putting our chains upon us.
And Dr. Bradley, I think more and more Americans are waking up to this fact due to the nature of the tyrannical folks and their overreach. Like a lot of people, when I got into this business in radio over 25 years ago, you know, people just thought I was off the walls nuts. And that's kind of why I've learned to temper my statements a little bit. Oftentimes, you've got to give people milk before you can give them meat, number one. So it's a very tough balance. You want to educate and you want to tell all that you know, but you need to be very careful to kind of bring people along where they are, educationally speaking. But I bring this up to say that in the last 5 years, probably, people now are starting to realize, hey, we've got a serious problem. We can't let this continue. And what's happening as people wake up is they need a place to go. They need a place to feel like they're at home, whether it be their favorite radio personalities, not from a I'm important point of view, but from a, hey, these guys bring me education and information that I can actually use. We need to find a home for people. We need to give them a place where they can gain a solid footing on what it takes to eternally promote the sacred cause of liberty, to be eternally vigilant, to be steady. Okay, it's not the rabbit that wins the race, it's the tortoise, if you will. We need to not panic. We need to promote liberty every single day. We need to get a food storage so that we have food and preparedness and stuff, but it can't happen overnight. Don't go get in debt $50,000 and have an awesome bug out place. You know what? Build it slowly. Work on it a little bit at a time, a little bit of here, a little bit, 5 minutes a day, every day. Day in, day out, consistently, eternally vigilant. 5 minutes a day turned out to be a lot of time over a lifetime. And so we need to understand, not to be belligerent, not to be extreme, but you're absolutely right that it's the kind of thing that it's an individual sport, so to speak. It's a family kind of an event. We need to be eternally vigilant. We've got to work at it. But I believe the parable of the 10 virgins, what it means to be ready, really is applicable here. First off, are you going to be a part of the church? Are you going to be a follower of Christ? If you choose not to, we'll still support your liberty and bring you along the best we can based on the principles as well. We love you and we care for you, and we're not ruling you out, by the way. But when it comes to preparing for the Savior Jesus Christ to come and preserving liberty until he does come, I believe the oil in the lamps is the key. And what is the oil in the lamps, and where do we go from here? And that's the quintessential question. And I think it starts with eternal vigilance. It starts with studying. It's hard to bring others along if you don't understand it yourself. And so I think the key is to study hard, to get on your knees and pray and turn to Christ, to find out where you fit in this matrix of liberty-loving Americans standing for their freedoms. Everybody doesn't do what Sam Bushman does. Everybody doesn't do what Scott Bradley does, the good doctor. Everyone does have a role to play and a part they can play. Each person has their own reason, and their own reason drives their purpose, and their purpose drives their efforts, if you will. And each person is born here in these the last days before the Savior returns. They have a place in God's plan. They have a place in preserving liberty. They have an understanding and an opportunity if they'll but learn to seize the day, if you will, if they'll learn to work at it. And so I think we avoid the hypersensitive nature of this, and we avoid the extremism and the panic and anything else by common sense education. You know what? Here a little, there a little bit at a time. Work at it. You know what? If your life is not in harmony with Jesus Christ and you know it should be, then start to have faith to repentance. Work on that a little bit. If you don't have food storage, start to get a can or two every time you go shopping of extra food. Learn how to prepare. Learn how to use it. You know what? Get some camping gear should you be forced to leave your home. Get a 72-hour kit. Work on this thing. You know what? Steady, slowly, work on it. The oil was gathered by the wise virgins, a drop at a time. That's how we, too, may go about our solutions. And hopefully we can advocate for these things eternally vigilant, if you will, on your radio.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley, To Preserve the Nation, his collegiate series, found at freedomsrisingsun.com. He has weekly webinars, Q&As on the Constitution, topics of the day, and a whole lot more, over 1,000 videos at freedomsrisingsun.com. Become a member today. Incredible educational opportunities. So that's kind of my main point, Dr. Bradley, is that I think we need to use the 10 virgins parable. It's kind of our guide. We need to say, hey, where in our lives do we need to work on it? Where do we need to store a drop of oil at a time? Whether it be food storage, whether it be, you know, repenting in our own lives, whether it be working with our families, preparedness, understanding the principles of liberty, education, if you will. All these little things kind of add up, and you don't need a ton of time every day. What you need is consistency, eternal vigilance. But I believe the 10 virgins parable is very instructive to the point we're making here, sir.
Well, I agree completely, and the idea of gaining a drop of oil here and a drop of oil there is absolutely a component of this. None of us were and are perfect, and we're hopefully progressing along a path that'll make us more in conformance with God's whole plan for us. But yes, we do have to make this preparedness effort. But let me do another couple of little analogies here that shows a crossover point at some time. And I want to avoid an abrupt break point with what is happening with our liberty. But you'll note in the parable of the 10 virgins, the time comes when you're either in or you're out, where you cross over and you go into the marriage festivals, and or else you're left outside in the dark. Okay, and I'll do another thing that's even more. And if I don't know as I can convey this verbally, but if you ever come to the point where you absolutely, unequivocally need, demand, require a firearm to protect your life, it is the most intense moment of your life. That nanosecond, those split seconds that will determine whether you live or die, or your loved one lives or dies, will be an intensely emotional experience. And you know, you get in a gunfight, most of them are within 3 feet, and they're over in 3 rounds in less than 3 seconds. And there's no going back. And what I'm saying, though, if you are not prepared with what you need to do, you come to that break point. And again, people that are prepared, whether it's in a religious, spiritual way, or where you have food storage and a place of safety for your family, or you're actually armed in a confrontation that happens in a grocery store when you have some maniac that is shooting down innocent people, there comes a point where it becomes, there's no crossover any other way. You've got to go across that bridge, okay? And I think that if we as a people continually prepare spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and in all the ways, and then you talk about putting oil away a drop at a time, you talk about getting some things ready in your food storage, your camping gear, and your spiritual preparedness, it can't be set aside. But I think if enough of us are doing that, that crossover point may never occur. It's like the bad guys may never feel like they're empowered to take over. Now, you know it in these shooting experiences. They always do them in free fire zones where they're gun-free, where nobody's going to shoot back. If they get you to a point where you're completely vulnerable, then's when the bricks fall off the back of the truck and land on you. And so what I'm saying is yes, let's prepare. Let's do this. We cannot do anything but be vigilant. And yeah, we can't be hunkered down and bunkered up, which Americans have become rather adept at by being fearful all the time about some Nazi germy that's going to somehow pounce on you when you walk out of your house, or your writ of habeas corpus has never been exercised on you because you're so fearful. These kinds of things are preparatory to them actually. The people that want to destroy America, our land of free and home of the brave, our privilege of worshiping God, our privilege of providing for our families, our privilege of being able to lift and bless our fellow man, those things, I believe that they're constraining more and more and more. And so we need a critical mass of people that care enough to be able to say, no, this will not happen in my
watch.
Let's
be clear, too, Doctor. Those who want a tyrannical future, those who want to destroy liberty on the altar of them being in control or lording over us or whatever element that drives them in this cause, or in this battle between right and wrong, good and evil, and agency being at the center of that battle. The interesting thing about that, in my mind, Dr. Bradley, is this. You know, they've been trying to destroy the world or control the world ever since the world began, since Cain killed Abel is the term I like to use. And they've never got it yet. You know what? And they're not going to get it either. They might push us through tough times. It might not be pleasant along the way based on choices the populations make through history. We've seen that. But at the same time, be very clear, they have never got their goal. And under my watch, they never will. A caller jumped on the line. Trevor, Washington, you're on the radio, sir.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Bradley and Sam, for letting me jump on here. Just wanted to touch on what you guys are talking about. I think it's right on target, and I will be fasting with you this weekend, and hopefully everybody else will. You know, we need to fast and pray like everything depends on our Heavenly Father, and then get out there and get to work and lift where we stand. I'm over here in Washington State, like I said, and it's, you know, the people here are, man, they are struggling as far as, you know, the rights, because we got a pretty bad governor and everything like that. I mean, so we are, I'm just trying to simplify it, and it is, you know, the Christians out there against the Satan worshipers is how I look at it. And we need to start calling it like it is. And they've been kidnapping our kids, daughters at college, raping them, you know, sex trafficking, all this kind of stuff. They're killing us out there, killing our soldiers. You don't hear about it. You're not going to hear about it. We had a drive-by shooting where I live over here. That's not in the news. They're covering it up. They want everybody to think it's all good. But, yeah, those Satan worshipers are out there worshiping Satan and killing people, kidnapping people right now in America. They are in the government, and we need to fight against them. And we need to join the Christian churches together. We need to stop fighting over the money. And we've got to come together in unity as Christians so that we can communicate just like we were strong with President Trump. We had a leader. We have to have a leader as Christians. The Satan worshipers have a leader. They all over the country, they're listening to the same guy. We need to do the same as Christians. We need to be unified. We've got to be able to be strong together. Just wanted to say that and say God bless to both you brothers, and I support you 100% and the CSPOA too.
Thanks so much, sir. Appreciate the call, sir. Amen. His point is well taken, Dr. Bradley, and I wanted to have him finish and jump off, and then I wanted to give you a chance to respond. Doctor?
Well, you know, it's so much in what he's just said that we could, you know, really expound on. Let me just take one little aspect of it. The listening, we got to have a leader, and he says they've got one, and they do, and I believe it ultimately ends up in the satanic realms. But we have a leader, and I tell people, don't follow me. I just want to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. And if we're all following him as our leader, if we're all listening to his great encouraging and ennobling and uplifting message, and we need to recognize that we're all in this together, and if we can all be on his side, all enlisted. And truly, there is a diabolical plan. I mean, throughout history, great thinkers have known it's the nature and disposition of almost all men to get authority and begin to abuse it. Daniel Defoe said all men would be tyrants if they could. That was back in 1701. Lord Acton said, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And why is it that we see this at such a magnitude today? It's because power is kind of gathered in government. And so those that seek for power know that they can, if they can obtain the reins of government, and they'll exercise them improperly, that they can exercise almost unlimited power. Well, unlimited in the sense, in a mortal sense. Obviously, God has all the power. But that's why guys like Hitler and Stalin and Mao and FDR and whoever, you name who you want, that seek the reins of government, because then they have taken a consolidated power. I tell people often, World War II was simply a gang war. It was a gang war that the gangs had obtained the leadership positions and the power of government to the point that they could exercise destructive forces beyond what we can imagine in our world. And that's what's happening now. That's why government is such a plum for these people that seek for power. And so what we need to do, we need to rally together, we the people. That's where America's power really is. Well, okay, the ultimate power is with God. But if we're aligned with God and we the people are appropriately using the tools that God gave us through the United States Constitution and all of the limits and bounds and everything else like that, we can maintain these blessings of liberty. But we must be eternally vigilant. We cannot become complacent or complicit. And I think that some of the things, these articles you brought up at the very beginning, are saying the church, regardless of what church it is, if the leadership of the church is dallying with the devil, it's a sad thing, and we've got to help people understand that. I know we're just about out of time, Sam. Let me just again point people towards freedomsrisingsun.com. There's on the front, the homepage, I guess they call that, in a website. I'm not technologically a wizard. But on the homepage, there's a video that you can click on that says to join us for fasting and prayer. I hope, I pray, I implore that a vast concourse, the faithful Americans, will join us as we fast and pray this April 11th. Begin the fast on Saturday evening on the 10th and continue through the day. Bend your knees often, implore God, supplicate, and I'd love to hear back. I'd love to hear back people's experience, the way their family felt. If tears are shed, if there's a renewal of the spirit in your home. I mean, whatever it takes. And I would love to hear what kind of, feeling of peace or hopefulness or even becoming motivated to do more. I mean, so feedback, I think it'd be cool. Maybe someday we'll be able to get that, and love to hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I could not agree more if I tried with Trevor from Washington and the good Dr. Scott Bradley when it comes to the prescriptions to restore this great republic. Return to the principles that made America great. That is the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. That should be the political religion of our nation. And then on an individual and a family basis, turn to God, family, and country. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the prescription. The Ten Virgins provides great guidance on what we need to be doing to collect oil a drop at a time. It takes work, it takes prayer, but between the two, ladies and gentlemen, they've sought for tyranny for over 6,000 years, and they've never got it yet, and they're not going to get it on our watch. Let's be very clear and dedicated We the people can restore America. Will you help us? God save the Republic of the United States of America.